Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is Ray Ferraro. What's happening, Ray?
I just finished at EA and made up some more gobbledygook, which is what we do there, and it's all, you know, all getting jammed into however they put it in the game, and just watching the trades go by the board. So we got more juggling to do on Monday.
Yeah, we were wondering about that ourselves. I mean, there are deals breaking here. Like, every 5 minutes, someone else is being traded. There's been a bunch of defensemen traded today. Toffoli got dealt last night. Blake Coleman a couple of days ago. Who's left?
Well, did you see this?
Yeah, like Grappler. What kind of dent is on Frank Saravalli's list? Like, that's a major dent.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
I'm just reading New Jersey Devils. Kyle Palmieri will be held out.
Oh, is that a fake account? Grappler's calling fake account on that.
Good, good.
What kind of a loser creates a fake account?
No.
Buddy, I almost bid on one. A couple weeks ago, they're like, Gerard Gallant hired in Jersey, Scott Stevens assistant coach, and Patrick Eliash. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, biting on it. I mean, I guess it's on you to for it's. We've all been caught doing that, but I'm saying, like, who goes out of their way to create?
Yes,
I know. Like, what are you laughing
at? You're somebody such
else?
A loser.
Yeah, I know.
It's such a loser move.
Better not read it out then.
Yeah, be careful there.
Be careful.
Anyway,
it's crazy though. as soon as 1D got traded or one forward got traded, you're like, you can almost feel like the GM's starting to get the, you know, the sweat, you know, going, crap, I'm going to be out of a guy here if I don't get moving. I've got to, man, there goes the guy I really want. I got to get going on to plan B. And, you know, as soon as, like, all of a sudden Marco Scandella gets traded, I wouldn't say he would have been one of the first four or five guys to get traded. But now a couple guys are, you know, Andy Green's off the board. So, oh, gee, we better pay attention to that. And then Alec Martinez is that deal done in Vegas? And, man, once they go, they start to go.
Yeah, and that's what you should be doing, right? I mean, if you're a GM and you know what you want, it's not like you just pick up the phone today.
Right.
You've been chipping away at a deal probably for a while. But I got to think your anxiety starts to peak a little bit. Like, who else is this guy talking to? And if I don't call him back and just say, done, like, I'm in.
But that's,
am I going to miss by 5 minutes?
They got all these deals cooking. It depends on how horny you are to get that player.
Right. But, and also the fear that you can't wait another 6 days, you know, and that's the way it should be.
I mean, once Coleman went, right, so then Vancouver already knows this news, obviously, about Brock Besser, that he's going to be out two months. They can't be fiddling around here and saying, oh, yeah, we'll get to a forward. We'll wait closer to Monday. They're like, man, we like Toffoli. We got to move on it now. And they paid a big price for Toffoli. But I think Toffoli's a really good player. But that you know, the Coleman deal matched with Besser's injury had to push that down the road a little bit.
Yeah. So what is the reaction in Vancouver? Because they're in somewhat uncharted territory. I mean, they've kind of been in a playoff race into the new year in the past 2 or 3 years, and then usually it just completely falls off. I can't imagine that would be the expectation this year. But Besser out, like you said, they've had a couple of injury problems, and now you go out there and get Toffoli, and they're still in a race. By no means are they a lock to make anything. And the Jimmy Benning as kind of an insecure GM angle probably factors in. Is he desperate? Are these moves through the lens of desperation? What's the reaction been to all these different news items in Vancouver?
Well, I think the people are excited that they went and got they got Toffoli. I think they're excited that the team is in this race. I'll tell you, it's been a few years since, you know, the hockey fan in Vancouver has had much to cheer about, and it kind of feels like, you know, it's invigorated a little bit, even though they're nowhere locked into a playoff spot, or, you know, certainly not a great team. They're a good team. I think they can make it. If they don't, though, guys, this is the type of deal that ends up blowing up in your face, because not only did they trade a first-round pick this year for JT Miller, and that deal has worked out really well. Miller has been phenomenal for them. But they trade a prospect who most think is going to be at least a third-line center in Tyler Madden, and they trade a second-round draft pick. So from their futures bucket, they've traded their first and their second round picks of this year and Tyler Madden. So I think people are a little nervous, like, wow, what if it doesn't work out? You know, now what do you do? And so it's really, it's kind of a balancing act, I'd say, a little bit here between, you know, between excitement of what's happened and nervousness about what might happen if they don't make it, right? And they're not a sure thing, but I don't know. I think they're going to make it, guys. I really do.
Yeah, I think they will too, Ray. But you know, that's kind of the consistent theme throughout the country, where we know Ottawa's out and they've been out since training camp. Montreal trading Marco Scandella today, which is a deal that might make sense at any time. But I think that's the first signs of the white flag going up in Montreal. They know they're not going to make it, so Montreal's probably out. But Toronto, Winnipeg, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver are all kind of dealing with the same levels of uncertainty. And Toronto and Winnipeg thought they would be clearly in, I believe, based on the history of the two teams. I think Calgary thought they would definitely be in, based on what they did a year ago.
Yeah.
Edmonton and Vancouver are the ones that are kind of in rarefied air at this point.
Especially with Edmonton, the injuries. They're like Klefbom's gone, McDavid, Neal.
Right. And yet those are the two teams that are in the best spot right now.
Yeah,
technically,
they've got
Edmonton and Vancouver.
Too. They've got games in hand.
Right.
I still, in watching those games out there, Ray, and you watched a lot of those teams, I think Arizona's in tough, personally.
Yeah.
Like, that's a...
You just had them in Ottawa, didn't you, Jamie?
Yeah. You know, and as much as I think they've taken some steps, I don't know. I think they've got talent, but they just kind of hang around games. And, you know, you want more from Kessel. Taylor Hall's a point-of-game guy there, but he's still finding his way, if you ask me. And, you know, that Connor Garland, guys like that, like, it I don't know, it looks different for me. Now, maybe they just scratch and claw, but to me, they're a goaltending-driven team. And when you have, you know, Kemper that's been out and retweaked something, and Ranta's a guy who kind of... you know, is a little bit unreliable.
You can't count on him health wise, right?
Right. That's the thing. It's a battle for them.
That'd be great for the Canadian teams. Get them out of the way.
That's what I was saying. Like,
Move on. That
could help Winnipeg get in there. Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. They're right in the muck. All of them.
See, I like DeMelo to Winnipeg. I think that will help them. Winnipeg's been hanging on by a shoestring on their blue line. Man, guys get hurt every game. Just in time to get another guy back, you know, like they're barely hanging on there. I think that's a good move for them. The you know, Calgary, they've started to score some goals. I'm not really sure how, because Goudreau's got one goal in 14 games. But man, they got five in the third period against Anaheim yesterday. They're in the mix. It seems like, anyway, Nashville's starting to roll a bit, so that cramps up the wild card race, and you've got, you know, and then you've got the five teams in the Pacific that are stumbling all over top of each other, and whatever's going to happen here in the next few days, it's not going to clear itself up, that's for sure. This is a race right to the end.
Yeah, and that's the scenario that the Maple Leafs find themselves in, with either the race for the third spot in the Atlantic with Florida. Florida's 2 points back, they have a game in hand. And the wild card races with Columbus and Carolina and Philly, and I would include the Islanders, who have really come back to earth all of a sudden. But you look at the Leafs, yeah, they got 22 games left. We went over this extensively yesterday, Ray. Seven games against the elite teams in the East. Three against Tampa, two against Pittsburgh, including tonight, at Washington, at Boston. So seven of the 22 are against those four teams. They got a tough road ahead, and then two against Florida. Like, they've got some adversity. Yeah. They know it. They feel it. How do you see them handling that?
Well, I said last week, I think they're going to make it. But at some point, like, for all these teams, I guess you can think about it all you want. Eventually, you've got to perform, right? You've got to get it done. And, you know, I can give them, I don't know if pass is the word, but I can look at what happened in Buffalo and go, okay, they got a bunch of guys sick. We've all tried to play sick, and man, you don't, sometimes you just don't have it. They didn't, you know, they had the game back. It was right. It was 2-2. And then all of a sudden, boom, in 90 seconds, it's all put away. I'm like, I can understand where that one happened. But pretty soon, if you understand too much, the games just melt away and you're really in it. I don't know. These are tough games this week. I mean, Pittsburgh is just rolling right now. I watched them on the weekend, and you know, this is a team Toronto should, you know, they should look at and admire about the way that they go about their business with this high end skill. And man, they just put you through the grinder. They forecheck and they're fast and they're hard. They're not. It's not like they're super physical, but man, they just play fast and hard all the time. And
they backcheck too.
Oh man, that's the area, right? Yeah, they do. That's the area that Toronto has to continually try to get better at it. You know, to play harder, to play faster, and the example is sitting right there in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and that, I think, again, there's still more chapters to be written on this season before we officially define
what
it is. But I think what is so disappointing through 60 games is this was supposed to be the beginning of their, you know, Pittsburgh era, so to speak. In terms of just consistently in, you know they're in. You want to believe other teams fear them. You want to believe they can get through any adversity, because Pittsburgh's done that forever. And they've run into a lot of adversity, right? Like with coaching changes, management changes, Crosby in and out of the lineup with big injuries, Malkin in and out of the lineup, and they just continue to chug along, and secondary pieces come and go, and Pittsburgh does not miss a beat.
Their third line that they just love is Teddy Bluger and Zach Aston-Reese, who got hurt the other day, and Brandon Tanev. And they just, that line just, like their energy and their production and their, you know, the way that they don't even just give a breath to the top lines. They keep the momentum going. Like, that's part of how they built this team. I'm really impressed with them. I mean, a guy who doesn't garner any, you know, around the league notice is Brian Dumoulin. He's been out the better part of 2 months. He's Chris Letang's partner. So they plug Jack Johnson in there, who was rotten last year, just had a terrible year, and things work fine for them. But they're missing one of their top pair defensemen. You know, like, so, like the Leafs can't, or the fans really can't say, oh yeah, you know, but they've got it, or we've got injuries. And yeah, Pittsburgh's been doing it all year with significant people out of the lineup. And I think they've had a really, really impressive season.
Yeah, they've been outstanding. This will be a tough one tonight. Then they got Pittsburgh at home on Thursday. So even if you survive tonight, they're coming right back at you on Thursday. Or if you lose tonight, you got to get back onto the train against Pittsburgh on Thursday.
Well, you got to split these games.
Like, you got to find a way.
You have to split them.
And the last time
the turning point in the season, and they can double down.
Well, if you win them both, then you start making
some hay. It'd be a massive turning point. Yep. If they could somehow find a way to sneak out both of them and say, okay, let's get rolling here.
Well, this is interesting, and I'd be curious to get your take on this about whether or not athletes, you know, do they have memories? Do they? And what I mean by that is, you know, do they remember the feeling the last time they left a rink? Because if you can recall, the last time they left this rink.
Yeah, that was long. That's too long ago. They got a new coach. Yeah. That's gone.
So they don't have any sense of.
Castasua was in that.
I hear you, but that was maybe the most embarrassing game of the year.
That's right.
It was pathetic.
So already they left the rink saying, we can never play as bad as that. That's gonzo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like it to show up.
It's kind of like when we have a bad show. It's kind of like when we have a bad show, it's gone.
Yeah, but you're right about that. I guess I'm just
actually when we're having a bad segment, it's gone halfway through the segment.
Yeah, usually we just take
end
it
of
off
the first
the rails.
Period. We figured that out pretty quickly. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I guess I'm not saying I necessarily need them to or want to, and I don't think they had to address it earlier today. But you know, it was so bad. Like that was the game that really got Babcock fired. He may have been on his way there anyway. But they left Pittsburgh, and it was like, he's done. Like, they have quit on him, and it looks brutal. And that was ugly, man. That was a 6-0 beatdown.
Was it 6? I thought it got a little worse than that. I thought it was like a 7-1.
Wasn't it? Maybe it was. I mean, maybe I've forgotten about it. Who am I kidding?
I don't know. Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, it was ugly, and let's put it that way. And needless to say, if that happens again tonight, we're going to have quite the mood in the city tomorrow. But how about Shea Weber playing tonight? Like, how did that happen? And why is he playing? Like, I give him all the credit in the world. That's amazing. But what's he doing? I thought he was done for like a month and a half.
I'm with you on the why. Yeah. I don't, you know, like, I don't, on the why part, Brian, I don't know. I mean, like, of course you want to play if you can, but, man, they're out. It's over, right? Like,
well, if it's not career-threatening, then why would you not play? Like, that's the thing. Like, you know, if he's available.
You're saying go ahead and play anyway?
Well, I think if he's fine, like, if he's like injecting it and like you know bat like this in the playoffs,
the Warriors,
yeah, this is in
like,
the playoffs.
Take the year off,
but like if you're fine to play, okay. Play. You know, I
have a question though. So the doctor said he's out 4 to 6, and he's back in a week and a half. Like, with all due respect, did O look at his MRI?
Yeah, something's not adding
up. Yeah, maybe that's what happened. Dr. O was the initial diagnosis.
The overdrive guys looked at it. We
fractured your leg, Shay. Actually, you didn't.
Something
actually,
happened.
I was looking at your elbow. You're going to be
exactly.
Fucked.
That was the wrong MRI.
It could be like
that's
that.
The only explanation I can think of because
it's really weird.
Yeah, like
4 to 6 to playing tonight. Like, I love that one.
It's I believe it's his foot, right? Is it foot or ankle? Put it this way, it's a part of his body where he's had problems before.
Right, had surgery on, I believe.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm more surprised the Habs didn't go to him and say, "Listen, we love it. We love your courageousness. We love how you want to play.
You're not playing.
But you're not playing, man. And we're playing aren't they playing Detroit?
Yeah. Slide into lottery territory here.
Yeah, well, they don't need him. They shouldn't need him against
they've
Detroit.
They've lost. That's how that's
Detroit's beat them three times.
Three times in regulation. That's the team that has cost them to be in that playoff hunt. Three times in regulation they've lost to Detroit. And like, it's crazy how certain teams have that number. Boston, I believe, has lost twice to Detroit this year in regulation.
Right.
It's crazy. Like, Detroit is going to get wins. Just like Ottawa and some other teams that have been closer near the bottom, but
yeah, they got wins. They got 14 of them.
Yeah, well, three of them are from the Habs.
They have
regulation.
Detroit has a -106 goal differential.
I don't think that's good.
That's a bit of a problem.
Total, they have like 32 points.
That would be a lot of nights of they got a lot and we got a little.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to hit 50 points.
That's slap shot. We got a lot of losses.
32 points.
Colorado,
in 61
the one
games.
Year. Colorado had 47.
47.
Four
I
years
believe.
Ago was that?
Yeah.
They'll be pushing that.
I don't know if they get to 47, but they need 15 in 21 games.
Hey, guys! I played on a team that finished with 14 wins. At least Detroit's got 20 games left to get a few more.
Yeah, they'll sneak past you guys. That's a shame.
I think we got hot to get to 14.
That would be the best part if you guys ran off like 5 in a row down the stretch.
Right at the end.
And everyone's like, what is happening?
Just on
here?
Fire.
Look at
the
these
end.
Guys. And then you guys being heroes in the postseason presser, like we really felt good about ourselves.
Yeah, we were just warming
by the
up.
End of the game. This was a 160 game season. We're in the playoffs.
Just warming up.
Yeah, that wasn't happening. We could have played 160 games and. There wouldn't have been any warm-up.
No. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens tonight, and I'm sure there'll be more trades between now and tomorrow at 5. I don't think Duthie is handling it so well.
Good, because the more trades there are, we'll see what Duthie's all about. Let's see some entertainment from the host.
Well, he got nominated today for another screen award for the 2019.
And he voted for himself again.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Like, who's...
He wins it every year. Like, just give it to him.
Free agent frenzy. Yeah. Well, this is going to be his best work ever if
we
all the deals are done
now. We should win an award.
Yeah, why don't we win a? How do we get up for an award?
I don't know.
Let's
is
create
radio
an award.
Awards?
Well, it's like the Marconi Awards and stuff.
Al's brother for the segment. 10 seconds
See, I think
of
you
XFL.
Guys, just start a campaign.
Exactly.
Start a campaign to win. It doesn't even matter for what. Just try to win.
So, yeah, we should put our names in the hat of some sort of an award. Medical field. Radio, TV, Somewhere. We're qualified. Trivia. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we'll get an award at some point, and we'll include you, Ray.
It's just all creativity. I think there is an award to be had.
I like it. All right. We'll stay on it. Grappler, find us the most pathetic award available, and we'll win it. All right, buddy. We'll do it tomorrow at 5.
Talk to you then. See ya.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota. Fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% of Maple Toyota right next to Canada's Wonderland.
You were right. It was 6-1. Now, just looking back at Pittsburgh's, it was like I believe it was November 16th.
Yeah, because Babcock 6-1. Got fired on the like 19th or 20th.
6-1 in Pitt.
Because they went to Vegas after that.
Yeah.
Lost in Vegas.
Then it was game over.
Yeah, but Babcock was fired when he got on that plane in Pittsburgh. Like he knew it, and
yeah, that was a rough one.
That was like a day later. He's like, I bet on Mike Babcock. That was his way of saying, I know I'm gone. But
they lost in Vegas. 4-2, and then they went into Arizona.
1-3.
Beat Arizona.
3-1.
That was Sheldon Keefe.
Colorado,
and then Colorado, and then it was kind of, okay, let's see where we go from here.
Yeah.